You're listening to KTOO's Juno Afternoon. That's a little bit of Annie Bartholomew there. She'll also be at the Gold Street Music Concert this weekend. Say that again.
I said she's awesome.
Sorry, say that one more time.
Okay, I'll say it 17 times. Annie B is awesome, but she pays me every time I say it, so I'll say it 7 more times.
All right, sorry about that. Okay, now
other than that, you're doing a great job, Shelly.
Thank you very much. So are you, Colette Costa. All right, yes, I'm Shelly Delaney. It's KTOO's Juno Afternoon. My next guests are here representing the Gold Town Nickelodeon Theater. Welcome, Colette Costa, and your charming friend, Katrina Rice. Hello.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we know Colette pretty well over here.
Unfortunately.
So, Katrina, let's hear from you. Would you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, I'm from Juno. I graduated from JDHS in 2001. And then I left, went to college, and stayed down south. And I now work as a prop master in the film and television industry out of Georgia. We live in Atlanta.
Wow, and that's a hot spot for films and TV shows. And
it's a hot spot. Yeah. More content is produced there than pretty much anywhere else right now because we have a really great tax incentive. And so we're doing more there than like they do in L.A., but we also kind of refer to it as the new Canada because we have just a greater draw for productions there.
So what are some productions that you've worked on?
I've worked on Goosebumps 2 that came out a couple years ago. I worked on a movie that was it's in theaters right now. It might have just left here. It's called Like a Boss. I've worked on television like The Walking Dead and a couple shows for Sundance that you probably didn't see. But movies like The Blind Side and Zombieland.
And your specialty is props, right?
Yes, I'm a prop master, and so that means that I and my department are responsible for anything an actor touches on camera.
So how did you get mixed up with the likes of Colette Costa here?
They reached out to me, and they asked if I would be interested in coming back home and talking about the film industry and how props fit into that and some behind-the-scenes stuff to fit in with their Science on the Screen series.
Yeah, and that's what you're here to talk about today. Before we get into that, I wanted to ask you both if you've ever heard of Veganuary.
Oh, God, that sounds like something I need to move out of town for.
It's when do you have any guesses as to what it is?
Probably you ate too much over Christmas, and then you're cleaning out your pantry and your system in the beginning of the year. Is that right?
Veganuary is going vegan for the month of January. Huh? Yeah, like as sort of a reset for the new year. So I understand you have a fun story about Woody Harrelson that might be appropriate to tell for this occasion, since Veganuary is almost over.
It's a total vegan story. No animals were harmed. When I was working on the movie Zombieland, the first one, because now there's a second one, years ago, Woody Harrelson is notorious because he is vegan, and so he won't use any leather products. And like, if his wallet, which we had to get a hemp wallet for him, can't have any leather on it or anything. So, in that movie, his character very famously searches for Twinkies for the entire movie. That's his basic objective in the movie. And so, when it came down to it in pre-production, we spoke to Woody's personal chef, and she gave us some guidelines. And at that time, that was like over 10 years ago, and it wasn't nearly as easy to get healthier products in grocery stores and gluten-free and all that stuff. It just wasn't as easy to come by. So we shot that portion of the film in a small town in Georgia, Valdosta, Georgia, because they had an amusement park. And I baked vegan Twinkies in the kitchen of the hotel that we were staying at, the Hampton Inn and Suites. They were very nice, and brought all the stuff. And the ladies working there were like, "You're making what?" Like, it was not a common topic, you know, going meatless at that time. So I brought all the stuff with me, and I baked 45 vegan Twinkies for him, and
wow,
removed all the Twinkies from their packaging and put all mine in and glued them back together and took them to set that night. And he was skeptical at first, but he ended up not using a spit bucket, which is a huge compliment to me because usually actors will spit out if they're eating a donut, they're not going to eat 30 donuts. So they take a bite and then you cut and then they spit it out. But we had a spit bucket for him and he did not use it.
He just ate them.
He ate them. They were really good.
All 45?
Yeah. Not all 45. However many it took for the take.
In
for the
one yeah, so he ate them on screen and he chewed and swallowed. Wow, that was that's an amazing story.
Thanks.
How big of an inconvenience is something like that when an actor is making demands?
I mean, actors are not convenient. So it is particularly in the prop department our job to make them feel comfortable, because you will have somebody playing a part of, you know, a sniper, and that's not what they do. So they have a lot of more and more I'm seeing a lot of dietary requests, and food is props. So anytime somebody eats, they, you know, we need to accommodate them, because a lot of people don't eat dairy and a lot of people don't eat, you know, gluten now. So we have to accommodate that. But also, if they're playing a role where they are an expert in something, usually their character is, they are not that. So we need to teach them to do something convincingly so that they feel comfortable doing it. You know, if they're fishermen or whatever, they've probably never done that before. So we need to, show them how to do it so it looks natural. So that's a lot of our job, is not only providing the props, but making the actor comfortable, making sure they don't get sick or hurt, because a lot of stuff that we do involves stunts and weapons and things, and then also making sure that they look convincing doing it.
Did he ask you for the recipe for your vegan Twinkies?
So he went later on. I remember he was on Jimmy Kimmel Live doing the press tour for that movie, and they talked about it, and Jimmy Kimmel was saying, oh, they just gave you regular Twinkies. Those definitely weren't vegan Twinkies. And he was like, no, I'm going to get the recipe for you, Jimmy, and we're going to start a Twinkie revolution. But he didn't ever ask me for the recipe. And, Hostess has since filed bankruptcy. So I think that they missed the market there.
Yeah, I was also wondering, too, if there are any Twinkies that are around that are freshly made since Hostess has gone out of business.
I don't think they need to be.
Right, because they supposedly last forever. I was also wondering how non-vegan are they to begin with? I mean, it's a lot of artificial ingredients, but
that's true. But the filling, I think, yeah. And then I basically adapted a vegan cupcake recipe, and then for the filling, I used like coconut-based cream filling. But nobody told me that he also allegedly doesn't eat sugar, and so you use sugar to bake, and no one told me that. I cleared the ingredients with his chef, but anyway, I brought them to set that day, having been up for like 24 hours straight, because I was on set all night the night before, because zombie movies are shot at night, and then all day baking these Twinkies, because they moved that scene up to the following night. And okay, the Twinkies play tomorrow night. Okay, you'll be ready, right? Okay. Mm. So I stayed up all day baking them in the Hampton Inn, and then went to set and brought them, and I was exhausted, and I hadn't been to sleep in, you know, a day and a half, and I had my little tray of perfectly prepared.
Oh my God,
vegan
you're a
Twinkies.
Cinematic hero.
And then, thank you. And then I showed them to him, and he said, what's in them? And I started listing the ingredients so he would be comfortable, and he goes, oh. I said, oh, you know, and we have cornmeal or whatever and sugar. And he's, I don't eat sugar.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But it was fine. He ate them. And then after the first take, he exclaimed that they were effing delicious. So it was fine.
That's an amazing story.
It's my best story.
Wow.
We don't save the best for last. We just get that over with right at the top.
Yeah. No bearing the lead here.
No, I think it's an excellent preview for the your talk at the Science on Screen. And that is Thursday, tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. So you're the science. What's on the screen?
We are going to be pairing this. So the whole idea behind the series is that you want to promote both science and great films in an effort to educate people in both. So I like to pair things that are slightly outside of the box. I don't like direct things. That's a little bit boring for my
No
straight lines. So I thought, well, what better to pair a prop person with than a movie that is dependent on a prop? So we're going to be showing John Huston's 1941 The Maltese Falcon. Great classic American cinema. Humphrey Bogart, Mary Astor, Sidney Greenstreet, Peter Lorre. The cast goes on and on. My God. This is the movie from which we get the great line, the stuff that dreams are made of. And it was written by Dashiell Hammett, adapted by the other guy.
Sterling.
Which one?
John Stern.
John who? Sterling?
Stern.
Stern? No, not Howard Stern. The other day, you know, that guy, Great Gatsby guy.
Gotcha. We'll Google it.
We should just know his name. Stein, not Stein.
Well, anyway, a long time ago.
The point being, this is an incredible film, and it is centered around a plot item. I mean, a prop item. In this case, the Maltese Falcon, the titular bird.
What is it?
It's a so according to legend, the Knights of Malta were made this solid gold statue to present to a king, and it was lost through time, and then it re-earths in 1941 in San Francisco, and Humphrey Bogart plays Sam Spade, which is a. You know, he's a literate. What do you call someone who's in literature? He's not a literate. He's not illiterate.
Literary.
Thank you.
Figure.
Literary figure written by, and he plays Sam Spade. He's going to look for this bird because apparently it's resurfaced, and they're going to find it and sell it. Long story long, we wanted to do a movie that was based on props, and this is one of my favorite prop movies, and. If you've never seen it, what have you been doing your whole life? My God!
I've never seen it.
It's okay. You're young still.
Yes.
I will forgive you. But you have three chances to see it tonight at 7 p.m., tomorrow after our talk at 6:30, and Saturday at 4:30 p.m. These are, and here's Juno's favorite word, free showings.
All right.
It's a gorgeous film. It's beautifully directed.
It's incredibly lit.
It's just a beautiful thing to look at. And Peter Lorre, come on, the man's nuts.
And he was in Casablanca with Humphrey Bogart.
He was.
Yeah. That's a fun fact. So, that's terrific.
That's a fun fact.
And Katrina Price, what are some things that you think you'll be covering in your talk about props and about being a prop master?
I'm going to talk about...
And are you familiar with the Maltese Falcon?
Yes. Not as well as Colette, but...
It's radio. You can lie. They can't see your face. I've seen it. I just watched it last night.
Yeah. That's, you know, on the AFI 100 list of, you know, most important films of all time. So I'm somewhat familiar with it. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Maltese Falcon and, you know, what role that plays, just to tie that into what I do in my career, which is just basically the same in this day and age. So I'm going to talk about behind-the-scenes stuff. I'll tell you more stories about actors and share some tricks of the trade. And I'm going to also show a few things. I brought some things from some movies and some TV shows that I've worked on the last couple of years, and I'll show everybody that and just show how we put it all together and from the very beginning when I get a script to how it ends up on screen.
Really cool. Really cool. Nice job, Colette.
Thanks. I'm excited. Yeah. So, you know, this started when there was a little article in the Juno Empire about 2 years ago about you. You had come to visit and they had a little write-up and I just kind of squirreled it away in the back of my brain for a possibility. Like, we like to feature local scientists or science-related people in this, and we also like to also make it a point to feature at least 50% female speakers in our series. And I thought, this is kind of a no-brainer. She got, you know, checking a bunch of boxes and great excuse to show this movie. And I just thought it'd be we partner with the Jump Society on this. There are our producing partners on the whole series. So another aspect is we're trying to have every season have some talk that has something to do with filmmaking or film experience in it, just to tie the whole thing together and neat little bow. So
excellent.
Really excited to do it.
Well, thanks for doing that, Colette.
Yeah.
And thank you to both of you for coming in and speaking with me today.
Thank you again.
Science on the Screen, that's tomorrow night at 6:30. Katrina Price will be the speaker about her experience as a prop master. And then you'll see the Maltese Falcon. Colette, is there anything else you want to talk about while you're here?
I could go on and on. Apparently this fantastic fungi movie I'm showing has caught the world by storm. I don't know if you've seen that, but we're still showing that this weekend as well. There's Friday, Saturday, Sunday at 7 p.m., a whole bunch of Sunday matinees. And our next Science on Screen isn't until March, so don't ask me about it because we don't know what it is. That's not true, we do, but...
It's not hashed out yet.
It's actually going to be about mining engineering. And so we're going to have some more local people talking about some interesting aspects of that. And also, slightly off subject, if you have nothing to do on Saturday night, Gamble and the High Cost of Living is playing at the Red Dog, so get your dancing shoes on.
And you're in that band.
I am.
All right.
And it's after the Gold Street concert, which you absolutely should go to.
Oh, cool. That's a big night of music.
Double tap.
Yeah. Double tap. That's a Zombieland reference. All right.
Nice.
Thank you so much for speaking with us
today.
I had a lot of fun with this interview. It's great meeting you.
Great to
meet
Colette,
you. Always
Thanks,
a pleasure. See you guys next time.
See ya.